And hello there, and welcome to Collision Cast, the official podcast of Fender Bender, helping collision repair shop owners and operators make money, save money, and work smarter. I'm Associate Editor Abdullah Ghaffar Khalifa, and in this episode, we're going to dive into what one of the largest MSOs in the country is doing to combat the tech shortage. The TAP program by Caliber is an apprenticeship program that not only gives people the opportunity to enter the field, but it also aims to help fix the tech shortage from the collision side. We hope you enjoy.
Well, all right. Hi, Eddie. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to talk to you today.
Back at you. Really looking forward to this conversation. I actually do have a background in education before I got into journalism, so really interested to hear your perspective on things as we get into this conversation. But how about you tell me about yourself?
Absolutely. So my name is Eddie Hightower, and I'm the Senior Vice President of Sustainability and Social Responsibility at Caliber Collision. I've been with Caliber for 8 years now. And in my role, I do a lot of things, but one of the really cool things I get to do is get to work on our technician apprenticeship program, which is called TAP. And I get to do something a little bit different than leading the program, which is not my role. I get to work on expanding its reach and really being kind of thinking about how we have a bigger impact with it, how we tell the story about TAP to really increase interest in the program, and also to drive, quite frankly, funding for the program from outside resources.
Yeah, and tell me a little bit more about TAP. How did it start?
Well, we are in the collision repair business. So we fix cars, we fix lives, and we're a purpose-driven company, and our purpose is to restore the rhythm of your life. And if you've ever been in an automobile accident, then you know that what it does is it throws you out of the rhythm of your life. No one really drives by any of our collision centers and goes, hey, I wonder what those people do. Let's go in there and have fun. No, they're coming to our center because something has disrupted their lives. And so our goal is to give them excellent customer service and restore their vehicles to pre-accident condition and give them really excellent customer service. And what that takes is it takes a whole crew of people from the front of the shop to the back of the shop. But the people in the front of the shop, they can't actually fix the vehicles. The most important people in the shop are the people in the back of the shop. And those are our technicians. And what we realized several years ago, and it's not just an issue that we're having or a challenge that we're having at Caliber, it's an industry challenge, is that we started to see, and this was before the pandemic even hit, we started to see a fall off in the number of people starting to go to schools like our technical training schools for the program. And that's for a number of reasons, but we started to see a real fall off in the number of people being attracted to collision training programs. And that started to create a shortage of available technicians for us to hire. And we realized that about 3 or 4 years ago, and we knew we had to do something about it. And that was really the genesis for the program.
And as you alluded to, you said that this shortage of technicians has been going on before the pandemic. What are the factors do you believe is contributing to it?
Wow. You know, there are a lot of factors that have contributed to it. The United States, in particular, has started to see kind of a demographic shift. So we're seeing more people retire. So we're seeing an aging population in the United States. We're seeing a lowering of our birth rate. Now that's kind of stabilized in the years since the pandemic, since the COVID pandemic. So that's good news. But we're seeing people also choose to opt out of the traditional workforce. So that's something is the generation of people just doing non-traditional jobs. We're seeing a spike in people going into business for themselves, just opting out of the traditional workforce. And so it's all of these things coming together that are really challenging the technical world. And then, of course, you see this rise in the tech space and the tech jobs and everyone wanting to be in a really tech-focused career. And so it's really competitive out there to get people into workforce like ours.
Now, when it comes to TAP, could you tell me a little bit more about how it differentiates itself from other similar programs?
Absolutely, absolutely. And diving into a little bit more about what we did just about 3 years ago is, this all started with an idea. We knew that there was a challenge. We knew that we needed to do something about it. And again, just talking about Caliber and its position in the industry, we are the largest multi-shop operator of collision repair centers in the United States. We have about 1,700 locations in 41 states across the United States. We now employ over 31,000 people in those communities across the United States. So we knew that our position as leaders in this space is that we not only needed to do something, we could do something about this. And so that's when we said, we can't rely on the schools. We need to develop our own program to do it. So it started as an idea. We can train our own technicians. And so we developed a competency-based program that lasts about a year. So we figured out what are those skills, those actual hands-on skills that a technician needs to have to take, from day one to, 365 days later, where they can competently fix a car, where they can look at a crumpled car, a panel on a car, and it comes out the other end looking like it was pre-accident condition. How do we train them to do that in the space of about a year? Do you take a young person or an old person or a person transitioning, whoever it is, if they have an interest and a passion and we can take them through the program and they can come out the other end as a trained technician. Not only that, we pay them to do this. They don't pay us, we pay them. They are hired from day one. They get the same benefits, they get the same time off, they get a 401k, they get retirement benefits. All of those things, health and welfare benefits, just like every other teammate that they're working alongside of. And at the end of it, they get a high-paying career, and really the sky's the limit when they come out.
That does sound quite attractive. Could you also tell me how technology plays a role into that? I know that's something you really wanted to talk about.
Yeah, if you think about cars these days, they're really, and they're growing in complexity, is they're really computers just wrapped in metal. And so technicians today aren't like technicians of even 10 years ago. They really have to know how to work with technology because, even as late as 10 or 15 years ago, when you had a repair procedure that you needed to do, you were pulling down a book and you were looking up in a physical book what a repair procedure looked like for a particular make and model of a vehicle. Now you're doing that all via computer and on a tablet mostly in the back of our shops. And so you have to already have that tech kind of focus. Then the vehicles themselves have these ADAS systems or these advanced driver assistance systems that you have to be cognizant of and know how they operate. And we actually have one of our lines of business is called ProTech Automotive Solutions. And that actually is a scanning business where we make sure that all of those systems work at the time we deliver the car back to our customers. So we play in the technology space as well. And so it just really isn't the car repair provider that you think of sometimes. You think of the grungy, oil kind of stained, dust everywhere kind of thing of the past. No, these are really tech savvy, tech forward the places where we're working with computerized technology loaded vehicles of today. And so that really technology is really an attractor for the people entering our TAP program.
I'm really glad you mentioned how technology attracts. Within the industry, there's been a discussion on attracting Gen Z, and one key to what is ADAS and other technological aspects of modern cars today. Would you agree or attest to that statement on how technology is attracting younger recruits?
Yes, absolutely. It's not only that, but in our space, We actually give them the whole package. So not only do we have that line of business that specifically focuses on the scanning or the ADOS systems, we have a whole line of business around that. It's one of our large and growing lines of business. But we also focus on the fact that being a technician lets you be in control of your own career. That's very attractive for our Gen Zers. And really for others too. You know, you can take that skill set anywhere you want, and that's very attractive. You're in control of your own career, wherever you want to go, and I think that's very attractive. The other dimension I want to mention, and going back to my job title covering sustainability too, is that you find Gen Zers are really interested in hearing about our commitment to our environmental practices. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're kind of a triple threat caliber collision when you think about it, because we offer them the opportunity to work with technology, and we're very much leading in technology. And in that, for example, this year, we'll bring online about 100 centers that are qualified to do work on BEV vehicles. These will be structural certified centers. So we'll be working with the latest battery vehicles and the technology there as well. Our ADOS systems we talked about, of course, being in charge of your own careers. And then, of course, our advanced sustainability practices and how we are very proud of things like last year, we just completed a 100% LED lighting retrofit in all of our centers. Just some of those practices that we engage with, which are really attractive to the Gen Zers as well. So again, triple threat right across the board there.
I mean, I am technically Gen Z, so I can kind of see how that would be very attractive to that crowd. But what about those who might be halfway into their work lives, in the 40s, 50s, who might have been in a different field but now want to transition to something else? What the aspects of your program attracts that particular population?
So I'm in that generation. I'm at the later stages of my generation, and I'm very proud of the fact that we actually just got certified as an age-friendly employer, and we are now working with the AARP on attracting the older technicians, our experienced technicians, into our workforce as well, and also working very diligently on retaining our experienced technicians, because those are the lifeblood of our technician apprenticeship program. Our experienced technicians are the ones that are so important to training our new technicians, bringing them along. And so what we're finding is that those technicians, those experienced technicians, and they may be the older technicians because they are really, really great at their crafts. And they are so good, so skilled over the years that they've been doing this, is that they are staying with us longer. They're fulfilled by bringing along new technicians over the year that it takes to train a new technician. It's keeping them with us longer, actually, is what we're finding, and because they want to get to their next technician. And so it's actually elongating the time that they're staying with us, is what we're experiencing in our program.
I'm sure a lot of people want to know, because you know, it's very rare for programs to get brand new, fresh recruits, pay them while training, give them full benefits as a seasoned employee. Where is the funding coming from for this?
It's 100% funded right now by Caliber. And over the first year and a half now that we've really had the full program underway, we've invested more than $65 million in this program. Now, we've graduated more than 1,000 technicians in that span of time. And our goal is to be graduating more than 2,000 technicians a year out of the program.
Do you have an expected ROI on this? Because I can imagine how this will benefit your program directly as well.
Yeah. So I will just say, I can't give you an exact ROI, but I will tell you that we definitely see the value of that investment, or else we would not be making it. But I do want to point out one other thing, that the investment that we're making in these new technicians is, while it does serve Caliber, and that is important to our business and our shareholders, our owners, It is also great for the industry because when we train a technician, that means that they're another available technician to the workforce generally. And while we work really hard to keep them staying at Caliber, and we hope that they stay with us for years and years and years and retire with us, they can go anywhere they want. They're skilled, trained technicians, and they can go and they can work for another collision repair provider if they would like. It's also good for anyone who drives a vehicle and who pays for insurance, because the more technicians there are, the lower the cost of repairs. And it's good for insurers. It's good for our communities, because these are high paying jobs. They are contributing to our tax bases. And I tell you, this is just, you talk about a triple bottom line. This is good for everybody.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because before we started recording, you mentioned that politicians from across the political spectrum are also taking an interest in this program. Could you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yes, absolutely. So you're right. We did talk about this. So we've been talking to a lot of people in D.C. A lot of members of Congress have taken a great interest, and they're across the board so supportive of this program. We are talking to several members of Congress right now about supporting this program through the Department of Labor and grants to the Department of Labor now, because again, we've been shouldering the expense of this program, and we know the Department of Labor is heavily investing in apprenticeship programs, and we hope to become a grantee this year through those programs. And we have a lot of support on Capitol Hill because it is apolitical. And what we're showing to these members of Congress is how the impact in their home states, their hometowns, their home districts, about the contributions to the tax bases that these technicians, even just starting in our program because of these paid positions that they're in, these paid training programs, that when they come out of the training programs, we're able to demonstrate to them what their earning potential is when they come out of the program and over time, and they get it, and they get the impact over all of the areas that I just outlined. They get the impact on the economy. And we've talked to conservative members of Congress, progressive members of Congress, independent members of Congress, and everyone has just been so supportive of this program. It's very refreshing.
Well, thank you for taking time to talk to me about TAP. I've certainly learned a lot. I hope our listeners learned a lot. But is there something that you just dying to want to share to our audience about TAP, something that we haven't gone over?
Yeah, you know, it's really something that that I hope to get across to people, is that I think that where we miss the boat sometimes in the United States right now is that we kind of sometimes have a one size fits all for kids that are in high school who are told that the path forward is to go get a 2 or 4 year degree and that's all they can do. And I think that where we got off the rails a little bit was when we started to lose programs. Like when I was in school, I remember we had an automotive repair class, and you know, that was a very honorable way to go. You know, we knew that kids liked to do that, and they had a great career ahead of them in doing that. And a lot of those programs kind of died out, and they're starting to come back. We're starting to get this, but there wasn't a pathway for people to go into you know, alternatives outside of the 2 or 4 year degree, you know, go get a college degree. And I think that there's a movement now to kind of break through, you've probably heard this out there, the paper ceiling, you know, to break through that paper ceiling. And I'm so glad to hear that. So what I would just want to get across to people is that we really need to start that dialogue again in the United States. And I think that we're starting to see that more and more with the support at the state and local levels for these apprenticeship programs. I just really think that we need to really get in front of kids at a younger age and say, if you have a passion for something other than, you know, studying English, and we need everybody to do that too. Look, that's the route I went. You know, I went on to law school and did all of that. But there are kids who have interest in working with their hands and doing other technical skills and have a passion for that. These are the STEAM kids. let's feed that. And so I think that we really need to refocus on that and give people alternatives. And that's what I would just leave you with today. That's my thought.
All right, Eddie, thank you again for speaking with me. It's been a pleasure.
Same here. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Well, that was the time we had with Mr. Hightower, so I do want to take this quick time to thank him. And of course, thank you all for listening. Now, if you want to learn more about the TAP program, I would suggest that you go to caliber.com and click on careers. Scroll down and you should be able to get more information from there. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and LinkedIn. And of course, I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day. Take care.